Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. The show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. Ken Pomeroy, who covers college basketball, advanced stats guy, going to join us coming up at 9:20.
He's also in our pool, where he's, I believe, in third.
Well, you know where I am? I'm at the bottom of the pool.
Which
with
pool
a,
is
with
this?
An anchor strapped to my ankle.
It's our college hoops pool.
College hoops pool.
Right.
Well, he should have an advantage, Ken Pom.
You would think.
Pretty much all he does is study college hoops.
Who's
right?
in first?
Valdezzi.
Oh,
Valdezzi.
Yeah.
Valdezzi's in first?
Valdezzi.
Look at that.
Valdezzi Pom.
Very impressive.
Who's in last?
Pedro?
Oh,
that is a little
Jonan.
Bit shocking. Man, I should be in last.
It's hard to predict the future. It's hard to pick fatties.
Some would say it's impossible.
Yeah.
So, Scott Brooks, we don't know what's going on.
You were right, Valdez.
Miscommunication.
Valdez, what was Valdez's theory? He just forgot.
Yeah. Maybe he thinks it's next week.
Yeah. Could be. It's hard. When you're every other week, it's not top of mind. You know what I mean? So, the way
he's on the road, who knows exactly when they fly in?
Right.
You just don't know the
is
situation.
A reminder sent out? The week he's on?
Probably the PR guy probably sent some text or something. That would be my guess.
Yeah, they botched it.
Now, what do you have about the Wizards and them raising tickets?
Bring up, there was a little piece in the Washington Post yesterday, and I thought it was pretty interesting. Look, the Wizards, compared to how they've been for the majority of our adult lives, they've been pretty good. They've been making it to the playoffs, and they're a consistent playoff contender. But I did find it kind of curious that it's five straight seasons they're raising the ticket prices. And, look, it's the way it is in sports. It's just super expensive now. But they say nearly 40% of the Wizards, roughly 12,000 season ticket holders who received renewal notices last week, including all plan holders in the 400 level, will see an increase of $4 or less per game next season. That doesn't seem like much, but when it's every year that they add them up, and then you see the seats in the rows closest to the court in sections 103, 108, 114, and 119 are increasing by 22%. So if you just wanted to go to one game and you sit down in decent seats, not on the wood, but sit in pretty good seats, they're going to start going for $90.
What were they before? Is it only a $4 increase, though, you're
74
saying?
74 to 90.
All right, so that's
the $4
lot.
Are the ones in the 400. The nosebleeds,
right.
They're increasing
right.
$4.
Well, how else is Ted going to pay John Wall's $45 million
unfortunately,
in 2 years?
Unfortunately, yeah. It's hard for me to build up like some sort of resentment towards the ownership on this because this is the way they pay the bills. You know, and if we want our guys signed to max contracts.
He's got three max players.
It just makes it harder and harder to go to games. If you're not getting hooked.
They're not really for you.
We get hooked.
They're not really for
us.
They're not for us, regular people. They're not really.
They really aren't. Even, look, I went to that Maryland-Rutgers game.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it once.
And it was a game against a terrible team, Rutgers.
One of the dregs of humanity.
It was a Saturday night, but it was snowing all day. So I go to SeatGeek, and I found, for me, reasonable ticket prices, $35. But it wasn't like I was even close to the wood.
Right.
I was off kind of in a corner. I wasn't in the upper deck. College basketball game that I waited. Let's say they were playing, you know, back in the day, and it was like a Saturday night against Duke.
Well, you're going to pay $200 a ticket.
It was Rutgers.
Yeah.
And Rutgers was terrible.
Yeah, that was about one of the worst,
attending
worst
live
games
sporting
you could have
events
gone to.
Is expensive. Bulletin.
But
it costs a lot.
Depending on how long you wait, you might be able to get a decent value on like through SeatGeek if you wait till
right, if you
five, 6 hours before the game.
Well, that's,
yeah, but
what
that's
I did.
Stressful.
I could have waited till like 2 hours before
and
the game.
Most always families, like if you want to go with a family,
I know, it's
yeah.
got to be
you
all gotta,
planned
planned
out for 3 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, I get it.
So the
you
average just increase is $10. If you include the nosebleeds.
Why do you think I stay home and watch games and never go?
Well, it's a hassle.
You know how many
go.
Times my wife says, can we go to a Nats game? Can we go to a Caps game? Can we go to a Maryland game?
Yeah, but it's not because the cost, because you could get tickets to most of those. It's because the hassle. That's why you stay home.
Well, for the Nats, I can get hooked. But those other ones, I think I'm paying. I don't have any connections to Maryland.
No.
Yeah, we can get
Your wife gets sized to go to all those games?
Yeah, she loves going to games.
Wow.
Because my daughters love going.
He didn't let her do anything.
I don't let her out of the house.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the
it's like the California.
She's an indentured servant.
Yeah. What's the name of the family?
She's shackled in the
Turpins. Yeah, the Turpins. Yes. Jason Turpin.
Turpin.
Yeah, she's not going anywhere. Yeah. Because the minute she steps foot out of the house, that means I am spending money on something.
Yeah. I know you don't like spending money.
It's like every step she takes.
I saw your deal with Colette in the hallway. I know you don't like spending money. Do you want to tell people what you did?
Every step she takes outside of the house, it's another $2,
right.
$5, $10, $25. And then if she's at the mall, forget about it.
Yeah.
Let's go to Zach in Arlington on line two. He wants to chime in about raising the ticket prices. Now, they are going to make improvements, right, to Capital One Arena?
Yes, I think there's like a $40 or $50 million renovation that's going to be happening over the next few years.
What's up, Zach?
Yeah, so I just wanted to chime in as we were talking about the Wizards. As a season ticket holder in the 400s or both, the Capitals have actually been raising their prices far more significantly than the Wizards. Over the last three seasons, they've gone up $10 to $12. And honestly, if you go on StubHub for about 80% of the games, other than when like the Pens are in town, you can find cheaper tickets in the 400s than you can as a season ticket holder. So I don't know how they're going to keep people around.
Getting tickets like you. I'm just curious. So for upper level seats for the Caps, you have a 40 game plan or 41 game plan?
Yeah.
How much are you spending per ticket?
So they're next year they're going to 38, and they were as low as 28 back in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Again, the market sorts these kinds of things out. It's impossible for me. I can't rail against the team. The team, all they're trying to do, they're trying to pay their bills and have, generate a profit, run a business. And if there are people who are willing to pay it, they're going to charge it.
Can you imagine?
If they aren't, then the prices will go back down.
Right. There has to be demand for it.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, reportedly, if they bring everybody back next year, are going to have a $300 million payroll.
Right.
Can you imagine what the ticket prices are going to be for them?
They're going to have to go up. That's if LeBron comes back, and that's a big if.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm just out on blaming ownership for stuff like that. You can't. I blame them for making dumb decisions. But you can't blame them for raising ticket prices if people are willing to pay. And if they aren't, then the prices will go back down. That's generally how it's going to work. I'm totally for that. Free market. Can't have artificial low ticket price. You can in some corner.
What do you think the Vikings are going to do when they sign Kirk Cousins to a big fat deal? They're going to raise ticket prices.
The price pay for his business. Deal. Yeah,
just don't go to games.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
Don't do it.
And then they'll have to lower the prices.
What you do is, what everyone does, these people that sort of, in our world, is you just wait till someone hooks you.
Right.
That's everybody the does.
We're
somebody
fortunate.
At the office, they have some tickets.
Yeah.
They can't use them.
Boom. They fall in your lap. Boom.
They take your family.
Next thing you know, you're sitting in Capital One Arena.
That's how you go. That's how a normal family goes.
Yeah.
Nobody has money to do that kind of stuff.
I just can't justify it. Without free tickets, I can't justify it.
Well, you're just one of the biggest squeakers I've ever seen.
I mean, you're right.
When you go to Penn
me.
State games, are you getting free tickets?
I mean,
tickets?
You grovel for gift cards more than anybody.
I do, but I spend money.
Penn State
I hemorrhage money.
Sometimes Penn State, because I go through the McSorley's, but he only has a certain amount of tickets he can
sure.
get. So the last time I went, which was last year against Nebraska, yes, I had to pay for those tickets. I mean, they're great seats.
They couldn't have been cheap either.
But that's an experience. You're driving up there. You're spending the night.
Yeah, I mean, I stay with them. They have an apartment on campus or so, right off campus, so I don't pay for a hotel. That look, I know going in I'm going to pay for four tickets going to the Penn State game.
Yep.
But believe me, it's cheaper, a lot cheaper for me than if I was going to a Caps game
right.
or if I was paying for tickets for the Nats and certainly for the Redskins. I'll never go to a Redskins game ever again.
Well, that's because it's too hard to get in and out of the damn place. That's the biggest thing.
That's one reason. That's the major reason. Yeah.
My buddy just sent me a text. He spends $10,600 for two tickets behind the goal.
That's a lot of money. That's a big cash outlay.
Well, he's obviously into it.
Does he write it off? Business expense?
God, I don't know.
Gotta imagine.
Don't know. I would.
He is a business owner.
What's the number?
10K.
10 large.
for the
$10,600.
Yeah,
I've done the math on that.
After my son graduates, I can do that easy. I can do it. You know what I'm saying? After my son graduates from St. Andrews,
yeah,
you're gonna have
more disposable income.
Yeah, you have college costs, and then you have another one going to college, and then another one going to college.
That's separate.
I think Mooney pays this much for Wizards floor seats.
Oh, let me see the number.
Hey, let me see.
What per year? Yeah. What?
Oh my gosh!
Number. It's about less than a year, St. Andrews.
Isn't that dumb?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you do that.
It would take AWOS five years to make that amount of
fake
money.
Like I'm a baller.
Remember I told you the story? He wanted me to go in halfsies with him.
Uh-huh.
He said, hey, can we go? Because he wanted to cut costs. He said, you want to buy half the ticket?
Because you've done so well when you go in halfsies with him.
Right. I would just say no more halfsies with you on anything.
Right. Well, of course I said no right
away. Mooney's a great guy
I couldn't say no quick enough.
Of course you couldn't.
Is he still doing it?
He still has them. I think he found a partner. But
yeah. Well, he's got the second row wood seats.
It's
on the
row.
Wood, but it's just like, kind of.
True. There'd probably be another $20,000 if there were one up.
Yeah, exactly. Look, it's expensive. It's expensive.
Players. What that number you wrote down tells me, being an Esquire is good business.
Oh, it depends.
Being a lawyer.
It can be.
And defending criminals.
Rapists and drug dealers and murderers.
It's very lucrative.
It's very dependent on what type of lawyer you
are. Well, okay, that's true. But for Thomas Mooney?
Yes.
Very lucrative.
Yes.
Oh, I can tell
you a story. We're just putting his business out there.
I can tell you a story about one of his cases. He got paid.
I don't know why he wouldn't. We got nothing but time.
I can't.
I don't think Scott Brooks is joining us. We got nothing but time.
I can't get into
I think
that.
You should.
I think we have Ken Pom joining us.
Just put it this way.
Ken Pom.
Put it this way. It was a civil case.
Ken Pom's going to have to get me fired up for the tournament because I don't know who to get. Am I going to get fired up for UVA? Not really.
So you can see them hold the team to 7 points and a half.
I mean, it's just not fun.
You don't need to worry about the NCAA tournament. You can watch the Terps at NIT.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll fill out NIT brackets.
We'll do an NIT
CBI brackets.
I'm not into that. I don't know.
Ken Pom's not going to help you. The only way you're going to find any joy in the tournament is if you bet at all.
Is there a coach you
got to bet at all?
Yeah, but like Mike's had a tough year, injuries. Yeah. I'm out.
Coach L, Miami's going to make the tournament.
I guess I could root for Miami.
They probably won't be in the tournament very long.
But you're not going to root hard for Miami.
No, I mean, as hard as I would anybody else. I mean, who else is there?
I'm telling you, just get into some pools.
Yeah, Nebraska.
You don't care about 10 miles.
Believe me, I've spent so much more time with Jim Larrañaga than I have phone call with
all of a sudden, Draft loves Nebraska ball over there.
Right.
Bandwagon rider.
Can't name one player.
Runner.
You're right. I can't name one.
You know Tim Miles. You can size for him.
I want him to be a big silly. Take a job at UConn or something.
All right, so they can stop calling us.
No, this is going to be. He's our lifelong big silly friend.
He's locked in.
Why we haven't had him on the show in years?
Yeah, forget why is he a lifelong friend?
Well, just because he'll text you back if you text him.
Yeah,
we've had him on the show once.
Who's done that for 22 years? Mike Bray.
Well.
Whose career pummels is.
Where's Notre Dame this year?
Oh, my God.
They struggle.
Oh, he's allowed one down here.
Injuries.
What have you done for me lately?
All right, Ken Pom's going to join us next. We'll talk some college hoops. Don't go anywhere.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Joining us right now is Ken Pomeroy. He's been charting college hoops, advanced stats for many years at kenpom.com. Actually, since 2004. And now you can read him at theathletic.com.
Nice. He's just blowing up, becoming a big superstar.
Yes, that's what he does.
Getting paid for
and
the
we found
athletic.
Out years ago he listens to our show or had listened to our show.
Did he grow up in this area or
I
something?
I forget why.
Is that what it was? KenPom, remind us. What was your story again?
Yeah, I grew up in the area. We're roughly the same age, so I grew up when you guys started blowing up. And pretty much followed you ever since.
Yeah, you're a kind man.
When we started blowing up, and then we since plateaued.
Yeah, we plateaued. We peaked a long time.
We've been flatlining for 15 years.
Yeah, the Divas game is when we peaked. There's no doubt about that.
And Kempa, where are you living in Utah now? Is that where you live?
Yeah, I live in Salt Lake City.
Wow. You think you're going to win this pool? With Valdez is talking a lot of smack. He's leading the pool by, I don't know, by 13 points, 15 points.
I know
he's
not
going to
win it. Cakes or Pete Medhurst. That I can
tell
you.
I'm not going to win it either.
Yeah, I don't think my outlook is all that great. I mean, you know, as you guys know, the pool wasn't exactly started in a timely manner.
This is the one that took like 2 weeks.
Yes, of course it is.
It took forever. We knew it would, though.
Like my second pick, I think, was like Texas A&M, and this was after like the season opening game. Texas A&M like killed West Virginia, and so I thought it was kind of a genius pick, and the timing was going to work to my effect or to my benefit. And since then, Texas A&M is kind of sucked, and they're barely going to make the tournament.
And
so,
you had SMU's poo, but you have Tech. You got Virginia Tech. They were your fourth pick, and they had a huge win last night against Duke. Not sure if you watched the game, but Duke led by 5 with about a minute and a half left. 2 awful turnovers. One by Grayson Allen, and they allow Tech to get a couple easy buckets, including that last second putback with 4 seconds left. What was your thoughts on that, and what's your thoughts on Tech going forward?
Well, as a proud Tech alum, I was pretty happy with the outcome. Definitely unexpected. I mean, I feel like Duke, even with that loss, you know, with Bagley back, if they can kind of integrate him back into the offense and the defense for that matter, you know, they might be the best team in the country. So that was a huge win for Virginia Tech. I mean, they obviously were kind of on the bubble heading into that game. You know, I think most bracketologists had them in the tournament, but now things certainly look a lot safer for them, and maybe they can start thinking about, you know, instead of just squeaking into the 11 or 12 seed, you know, they can end up a 7 or 8 seed, and, you know, that would be a different kind of feeling for them heading into the tournament.
Bickle wants you to get him kind of fired up for the tournament.
I'm having a hard time.
Because Maryland's obviously not going. You know, Georgetown's not going. There's no real local flavor unless there's some upsets in some of the smaller conference tournaments. But, you know, he's a Terp, and he just has no feel.
Maybe I get excited for Miami and Larrañaga. Can they make a run or no?
I would say doubtful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been kind of a disappointing year for them. You know, early in the season, certainly it appeared they could be a top 15, top 20 team. They got, a fair amount of potential NBA prospects on that team, but they really just haven't gelled in a way that would give me much confidence that they can make a big run. They're not going to start out with a great seed anyway, so it's kind of part of the battle. And I wish I could fire you up about Miami, but I'm kind of down on them as well.
Yeah,
I don't get too caught up in the one seeds, who's going to be the 4-1 seeds and who's the first over. I mean they all got to play each other eventually if they're going to win, but give me you know, 3 or 4 mid-majors that you'd like. The teams,
what about Butler? I got a lot of families been in and out of Butler.
Teams that, you know, like the Nevadas of the world, maybe Middle Tennessee State, you know, throw Butler in there. What? Give me 2, 3, 4 teams in that, you know, 6 to 11 seed range that you think could maybe do some damage in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, Butler's not a bad pick. They've been a little up and down this year, but I think they've been kind of sneaky good. People haven't really put enough attention on them. LaVal Jordan in his first year, a lot of attention has been focused on Chris Holtmann and what he's done at Ohio State, obviously coming over to the Buckeyes from Butler. But LaVal Jordan has done a really good job at Butler as well in his first year. So, you know, I do think they could still be Butler and, you know, win a game or two. You know, when it comes to mid-majors, I don't know if there's any like sexy mid-major out there. You obviously got St. Mary's out of the WCC, who just played a absolutely pathetic schedule, but they're a pretty good team. So they're going to get seeded maybe 3 or 4 seed lines lower than their ability, you know, in that 8, 9, 10 range, assuming that they don't lose in the first round of their conference tournament. St. Bonaventure is a team, I guess, that's coming on. If you want a really kind of unheralded team out of the A-10, you know, they're on a pretty long winning streak, knocked off Rhode Island That's a team that can play well. Also, you know, for a game or two, again, not going to go deep. You know, there's really no VCU story out there. But then again, like when VCU went to the Final Four, like their track record heading into the tournament was so bad that most people didn't think they should be in the tournament. So who knows what the heck's going to happen? But it's not like there's this like great mid-major story. I mean, I can sympathize with Bickle in a way. You know, there really isn't like that great, you know, that great story. I think the story of the tournament is like, you know, Duke and Michigan State, kind of the two favorites all season long. You know, how are they going to stack up against these other teams like Villanova and Virginia and Purdue that have kind of emerged with maybe more experienced but less heralded players? You know, which of that group is going to win out and win the title?
So with this scandal that's going on, obviously Louisville implicated. You know, Patino's gone. Now you've got Arizona. Miller's gone. It would appear. Do you see any other bigger name schools being implicated before Selection Sunday?
Yeah, that's a good question. It certainly seems like it's possible. I mean, this obviously the bombshell with Sean Miller came out of the blue. The Patino stuff was earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. We've already heard, you know, these other schools involved. Auburn was involved, and it looked like Bruce Pearl was going to lose his job maybe before the season started, and he didn't. And since then, Auburn has been one of the, you know, most surprising teams in the country.
But I could root for him, actually. He's a trip. I think I could root for him.
Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, I think I could.
Yeah, we've had him on the show. He's fun.
He is a fun guy. Doesn't strike me as the most ethical person, but he is a fun guy.
Oh, right. Definitely not.
Do you worry, though? Do you worry, like, as a fan of college basketball, does this scan? I mean, you know it. You follow about. We know all about sort of the underbelly of AAU and the competing for players and agents and schools. I mean, this is nothing new. But the fact that it's right. You know the FBI is involved and this is really going to be exposed and this could be just a massive bombshell. Do you worry for college basketball's sake, or do you just know it doesn't matter? It's still going to be there when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, if you're, I'm not necessarily an insider, but I know a few coaches and hang around the mm-hmm. game and talk to ex-players. And obviously you hear the stories of, mm-hmm. you know, how things have worked. And now that that's kind of out, more out in the open, I think long-term it's good for the game. Hopefully the industry will confront why this occurs. You know, the whole issue with amateurism and the fact that that system really doesn't work for the best, you know, 50 to 100 players in the game. They're obviously worth more than that going forward. And, you know, when you're worth, whether you're worth $10 million or even, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars, if you're not getting paid that, you're going to have people around you that recognize your value in the future and get involved in, mysterious ways. And so hopefully the system can be fixed. I mean, that's like, you know, am I worried about it? No, I'm kind of happy it's out in the open. And I hope something substantive will come of this. I'm still not confident that will happen. Obviously some coaches will lose their jobs, but will the system itself change so that this kind of situation doesn't occur in the future? I hope so, but it doesn't seem too likely to me.
Joined by Ken Pomeroy. You can check out his work at kenpom.com, where he's been plying his trade since 2004, and also at theathletic.com. Our producer, Drab T-shirt, has been a Nebraska basketball fan for the last 15 minutes. You have them ranked 54th in your latest ratings. Can they do some work in the tournament? And I'm sure it makes a lot of sense to have the Big Ten tournament in New York City a week early.
It is a little bit nuts.
I mean, what are they doing?
They'll never do that again, by the way. That'll never happen again.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. You know, the whole season, it just seems like they've been trying to, like, jam games in, you know, three games a week just to, like, get everything done for this tournament. It's going to be in New York City. But I guess the good news is that the Big Ten will have the entire, like, stage to itself this week in terms of conference tournaments. Like, it'll be by far the best one. But, I mean, as far as Nebraska, I'm not even sure they're getting in the tournament. I'm kind of a Tim Miles fan, even though he sent out some salty tweets in my direction yesterday.
Really?
Look at these.
What did you say? How did he respond?
He probably didn't like the ranking or something.
Yeah. I didn't say anything. They were completely unprovoked.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just some tweets about my rankings maybe 2 or 3 months ago when I had Nebraska going like 5-13 in the Big Ten, and how he, you know, it forced him to, like, you know, contact his realtor and, you know.
Jesus.
He was concerned about losing his job.
Man, that's ballsy.
Well, no, I didn't say anything. No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
He tweeted out my ratings and basically said, like, you know, in January he was looking for realtors because I was predicting that he'd go 5-13, and now look at him. You know,
Ken, he looks like he subscribed to your premium package, though. That's nice.
More money in your pocket.
That's hilarious. Did he? How can you tell that?
Because, like when you click on the teams, it has like all of their like predictive stuff on there.
Yeah.
And so the only way to get that is to subscribe for like $15 for the entire year.
Gotcha. That's
hysterical. I don't know if you raised.
Yeah.
You raise the rate
for coaches.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they get a discount.
No, I got a discount. It's only $20. They should get about $500 markup.
Right. Hey, Ken. Yeah. I gotcha. Yep. So I just wanted to get your take. Though, are you paying attention to the Wizards and sort of this kind of fluky stretch they're on, where they're playing better without John, and you know, I don't just sort of what you make of the team.
Yeah, I mean, I loosely pay attention to them, and it's incredibly interesting, the soap opera that developed with him, you know, going down with the injury, and then, you know, them starting to play well, and then the kind of the comments that were made by various team members towards him. Yes,
right.
It's you know, the locker room is like such a fragile situation. You know, you just never know when things are going to break up or blossom, and obviously, there's kind of a backstory there that has been bubbling for a while. So, I was more of a Bullets guy, and ever since they became the Wizards,
you're out.
I won't have checked out.
You are.
All right. So, Ken, you know, this gets very geeky with all of the adjusted defensive efficiency and points allowed.
You're that nerd.
I mean, you really break it down per team. But let's just talk about Virginia, because you have them number one in your KenPom rankings, and they're unbelievable defensively. Just one loss in the conference. When you look at them going forward in the tournament, we saw what can happen if you run into kind of a hot shooting team, at least for a half, when they played Virginia Tech. Now, Virginia took 38 threes in that game, and they only hit 11 or maybe 9 or 11. I mean, that's not the way they want to play. But when you look at Virginia going forward into the tournament, what types of teams do you think give them trouble just based on the analytics?
Yeah, I mean, that's always an issue now in the modern game, is that there really is no defense for a hot shooting team. I mean, if anybody has the ability to prevent that, it's Virginia. You know, obviously their defense overall is outstanding. You know, people talk about the pack line, and you can't really get easy shots on the interior against them. And they force such long possessions that, you know, you often don't get easy three pointers against them either. Like, you know, their anticipation is just outstanding. But as you mentioned, against Virginia Tech, they face a hot shooting team. And certainly in the tournament like that, you know, it's hard to avoid. It's hard to avoid facing a really hot shooting team. You know, that happened to Kentucky when they had really one of the best defenses of the last 20 years. What was it, 3 years ago? You know, they, you know, ran into Wisconsin, who just made a bunch of shots. And Kentucky, you know, couldn't do a whole lot about them and ended up getting upset. So, I mean, the types of teams they're going to struggle with, I think, are the teams with a, let's say, a skilled passing big man, because they like to – Virginia likes to double the post, and so if you can pass out of the post on that double, you're going to be pretty good. And obviously, you know, a bunch of shooters around them. That'll be the issue. So, you know, you would say, like, the prototype might be Arizona, even though they don't necessarily have a bunch of great shooters. They do have, you know, a guy like DeAndre Ayton, who is very skilled in terms of when he has the basketball.
Purdue.
You know, the freshman. Yeah.
Purdue can do that.
Purdue.
Yep.
Purdue, certainly. Yeah, they got a ton. You know, they're an outstanding shooting team, and you know, have Isaac Haas in the middle, who's, you know, even if you double him, you know, he's a 7'2" and he's bigger than everybody, and so he can see over the double team. So, yeah, I mean, I think those are the type of teams to watch out for. But the issue with Virginia also is obviously going to be on the offensive end, and can they score enough in those cases where they're not holding teams, you know, they're not playing Pitt and holding a team to 7 points in the first half. You know, the team scores 65 against them, can Virginia score 66? Their offense is pretty good. It's not outstanding, but it's going to have to rise to the occasion, I think, once or twice in the tournament for them to get to the Final Four.
I mean, I know Virginia's defense is good, but, I mean, Pitt with 7 points, that's a complete farce. I mean,
yeah, I mean
how does that
that's
happen?
Pretty much Pitt.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I get it.
Yeah.
But they're still D1 hoops. They're still D1 players. I mean, come on. You can't get double digits and a half.
Right. They are D1 players, but they're not really like ACC players. You know, they're kind of like Northeast Conference level players or something like that. I mean, Pitt has been really kind of a joke this year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Ken, can I ask you real quick? This could sound stupid, But so I'm looking at it, and I don't read Ken Palm's ratings consistently. You know, it's just not one of the things that I do. But I look at it, you got all these stuff, you know, adjusted offense, adjusted defense, all this stuff. How do you get to number one? Is there, I mean, without boring us the details, how do all these numbers equal the number one ranked team? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's the formula? I see you have all these different stats that you're tracking, but how does that all equal Virginia's number one in your rating?
So the rankings are just based on the difference between your offensive rating and your defensive rating. I don't know if that's what you're asking, but that's
kind of, yeah. How do you get to be number one on KenPom?
Yeah, that's specifically how it works. So basically, Virginia's offense and their defense take that difference, and that number comes out to 32.4, and that is the highest difference in the country. So that's why they're number one.
Okay, it's that simple. Okay, so forget about all the other stuff as far as how you get to number one. That's how you do it.
So
okay.
If you were to rank the same teams in terms of how strong they are, in your opinion, would Virginia still be one?
Well, yeah, there's a couple of issues. So I think Virginia has played the best. Like, from start to finish this season, they've played the best of any team in the country. Like, I do think that's clear. But I think the other question is, you know, hey, who, like, you're picking the tournament, you know, who are the best teams going forward? And, you know, I still think it's Duke and Michigan State. Like, those two teams, you know, from start to finish, have they played better than Virginia? No. But I think they clearly have, like, more in the tank. And lately, you know, obviously Duke lost last night. But you look at Duke's, like, recent losses, you know, they're losing at Virginia Tech, they're losing at North Carolina, close games. These aren't, like, bad losses. So given the talent they have on their team, I think I put Duke and Michigan State in the first tier, slightly ahead of like Virginia, Villanova, Purdue, North Carolina, like that group. Going forward, I think that's the way to think about things.
The thing about Duke that scares me, we're going to let you go here in a second, but the thing about Duke that would scare me is their freshmen play too much like freshmen in the tight games. It's happened all year long. It happened in pretty much all their ACC losses. And then throw in the St. John's game. They just play like freshmen, and if Grayson Allen can't kind of rein them in, I mean, they had 18 turnovers last night. Although Grayson had a bunch of them, too.
Yep, I mean, they've had a miserable record in close games. I think they're 1-5 in games decided by, what, 5 or 6 points or less, something like that.
Right.
And, speaks to what you're talking about. I mean, these guys, obviously, Bagley and Carter, have not had experience, you know, in an NCAA tournament. So that's certainly an issue. And like I said, that is, to me, the interesting part of the tournament is, like, the one-and-done teams against the experienced teams and who ends up prevailing in that situation.
Hmm. All right, Ken. Always a pleasure talking to you. We enjoy it, buddy.
Yeah, we should do it again one more time, you know, sometime during the tournament.
Yeah, after the brackets are released.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, right. Ken.
Ken Pomeroy.
Have fun hanging out in the basement of the standings with me and Pedro. The worst.
He's in third?
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't really give a look at the standings. Yeah,
and once again, this is the pool that took weeks where you picked college teams.
I'm going to have to ship Valdez $20.
What was the first team picked?
I can pull it up right now. Duke.
Duke was one. Yeah.
Duke, Arizona, Wichita State, Michigan State, and then Kansas are your top five.
Gotcha.
And I took Florida with my first pick. They went 9-7. So that was pretty solid.
So you got points
and
for
And Valdez right
wins.
After I picked St. Mary's, who went 16-2.
You think Ken Palm's fist pumping when, like, most people, I think, have thought that Virginia's been number one for a long time now, right? But when his stats come out and they validate it, like, you think he's like...
Everybody always likes to be right.
It kind of, you validate your stat,
true.
Right? I mean, it doesn't matter what happens in a tournament. Tournament's a joke. Anybody can go on a run.
Mm-hmm.
But going in, that's pretty good. Like, if, you know... Like Gonzaga came out number one in his rating or something. You'd have some serious soul searching you'd have to do.
Oh, yeah. He would love for Virginia, Villanova, Duke, and I don't know if he's got Kansas to all get the top four. Yeah.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We brought in our pals Grant and Danny on the show because Skippy bailed.
Yeah, he wasn't available.
So much.
We had to fill in for Skippy so we could get Grant and Danny.
We know how they love Skippy.
Or Granny
so
and Danny is like what he's called.
That's the Scotty.
He had a week to come up with an insult. And that's what he came up with. It's great content.
But we wanted to bring them on
because we have a trip
to spring training looming. And we heard so much about the disaster, which was their spring training week. Now, content-wise, you guys had Bryce Harper. You had a bunch of great interviews.
Had Mike Rizzo.
The content was
Weeders.
Fantastic.
Nats took good care of us as far as the show went.
I think both of you guys were sick at some point. And You guys also were sick of the accommodations.
You guys had to step across a chalk outline to get into your hotel rooms.
I got to the hotel about 8 hours before Danny did because I had to rebook my flight based on, as you said, I wasn't feeling very good. So I wasn't going to drive up to Baltimore. I wanted a straight shot, get in as quick as possible
from Nashville.
So you'd
come home from the honeymoon first.
I did. So I should have just stayed in Miami. I didn't. I came back for like 16 hours from Miami. And then,
it's no sense.
Well, I had to do the show on Tuesday here.
I know, but why didn't you just get a flight? CK couldn't pull. Oh, you had to do a show here. I
Correct.
About that.
Okay. Now, what I should have done is tried to just do the show down the line from Miami or something, but that would have been a lot of complications that
right.
are above my head. So I was coming back for one show, which I didn't get to do because I wasn't feeling well anyway. Long story short, I get to the hotel, and I'm just texting Darren Danny yeah. about what a disaster this place is.
Right. What was the name of the hotel?
It's not the Knights Inn. See what I'm saying? Smell what I'm stepping in?
Hold on. Let's see. It's
the Queen's Inn. No, the Prince, no, no, no. The Princess Inn.
Well, there are two times during the day. There's the night, and then there's the day.
Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Now I'm following along. There we are. I'm a little slow.
I was thinking Poker nights with a K.
But here's the thing. I wouldn't even blame that, because I've been to plenty of those hotels that are fine.
They're reasonable.
They're fine. You know what?
It's just a poorly
it
run Knights Inn.
It sounds to me it was the location.
Here's how I knew I was.
Is it more of a location thing?
It was definitely more of a location thing. But the first thing I texted Danny and Dar was, when you get to the hotel,
yes.
you don't know that it's a hotel because you have to walk in underneath of the opening and entrance of an IHOP.
Okay.
It's connected to an IHOP, and okay. you walk into
it. It has some potential connected to an IHOP.
Look, Valdez is getting perked up now.
It's
kind of silly.
The hostess that greets you sends you to the front desk, which is in another area.
Yes. Yeah.
So I walk in, and I want to get a water because I've been traveling, and I need a water.
Yeah.
And I go up, and the waitress tells me,
water.
I can't make you a water. I said, oh, okay, that's fine. And she tells
difficult
me.
Difficult to make water.
Well,
by
she
the
says
way.
That every time
heard of such a thing.
That she puts her cup up to the machine to get liquid,
right.
it reminds her that she has to go to the bathroom, and she's been holding it so long that she's going to get some type of infection.
she told you all of this.
That's
kidding.
What she tells
You're
me.
You're kidding.
And I said I need to get out of this place immediately. So I text Danny about that. But the motel, it's outdoor entry. We're
yeah,
in the parking
motel,
lot.
Motel. That's key.
Oh, yeah.
What are the surroundings? That's just, like
Danny,
cash
you pick up here.
Places?
It looks like the scene of any movie where like two guys are going cross country together and they get stuck in a place.
Right.
It's a two-bedroom where that's right. what it looks like.
Grant's being too kind. It's the place in No Country for Old Men where Llewellyn dies. That's right, what happened. Right. I brought a visual aid. This is the hair that was in bathroom that was at eye level. You actually couldn't miss it. No matter what you did, it was at eye level. So it wasn't as if it was a... Oh, you know, it's an out-of-the-way place, and you just go, take a look, JP. That's the
I thought
hair.
Your phone right. was buffering. It's just
no, it's
one
still
hair.
It's one big, giant hair. So you had to actively avoid cleaning it.
Sure.
So it was there before I was in
you
the room, and it was there after.
You wouldn't grab a tissue or anything? And...
I'm not going to touch it.
What's
it's,
around
it's symptomatic.
It? That, to me, paints a picture.
One abandoned building. Okay. A highway.
Were you guys at Riviera Beach, honestly?
No,
is that
we
the
were
exit?
In, no. We were on 45th Street in West Palm Beach. The to the right is a place where you can cash your checks, a liquor store.
Okay.
I explored those areas, by the way, when I was Vomitov cocktailing at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I went to a medical group that was about a quarter mile away, and I went to a Walgreens to get my prescription filled for anti-nausea medicine, and I passed by a line of 26 people waiting to cash their checks on a Friday morning.
Did you also lose a crown?
I did. That was Saturday. Boy, had a big weekend.
Yeah.
The long and short is, this place is dangerous. There's a public matter of public record. Lots of police reports.
The first two things that come up, no exaggeration, when you Google this place.
Yeah.
The first one was that a dead body was found there of a truck driver who hadn't been seen in a week.
Wow.
So that's a good time, but that's just the start.
How many chains on your room? I remember, E.B. and I went to Riviera Beach. And it literally had four chains.
Yeah.
Now, there was one chain, which is why we propped our chairs up underneath of our doorknobs.
That's a good
again,
you
again,
I brought that three well, that night, as well. That Knights Inn's probably the number one seed of that prostitutes get banged out.
And it is.
In that particular
We only got propositioned twice a piece, I think.
It is, yeah. They got phone calls while they're late at night asking if they wanted to make a donation, which actually means, would you like to buy some narcotics? There were narcotics transactions outside
which,
of
by
our
By the way,
Darn,
I didn't know what was going on, so I got this call at 12:05. I'm like, I had the weirdest call last night.
Right.
They called me and they said, do you have kids? And I said, no. And they said, would you like to make a donation? It was just those two questions. And I said, this is weird, and I hung up.
Right.
So I tell Dar the next morning, and Dar tells me the exact same phone call came in about the same time. So it's either someone that wants to come to your room to help you get through the night,
right?
Or someone who needs to provide you with whatever they're going to give you.
So, they're just calling random hotel rooms?
I bet they're in the parking lot. They just say, let me get room 301. Let me get room 305. Right. And if you say yes, it's code word for whatever they're trying to give me.
We found out after the fact, and this was, thank goodness we didn't know this going in, but various folks who have friends on law enforcement or whatever else, number of sting operations, what's typically done is you look at a white tourist, and find that, hey, it's probably worthwhile to go into this person's room when they're not there. Or if you size them up and don't think they're a tough matchup for you, you break into the room when they are there. So what Grant and I did, of course, I brought this visual aid as well. This is the chair under the door. So it wouldn't stop a would-be burglar. It would slow them down and give me an extra 10 seconds to say a prayer.
I'm looking at the picture of the luxurious lobby right now.
Takesy.
So you both straight up felt unsafe. As unsafe as you 1,000%. Felt in a long time.
This is not a bit. I heard a drug deal right outside my window after midnight one night. I heard the negotiation. I heard it all.
Sure.
Right outside my window.
Yeah, 5 feet
And this
away.
Is also not – everyone thinks it's just funny radio.
Oh, my God. It's so funny.
If you go to Google the result and you type in murderer in this place, okay, there is a guy that was found after he ran out of a courthouse. In my room, it looks like.
Oh,
the
wow.
video.
There's great video of it.
It's a dark, grainy video, so we're not positive.
Right.
But it's either my room or the room next to mine, and he's just pulled out of there by a bunch of cops. Like, the last night he spent outside of a prison was right there in my room.
Oh. Thank you, boys. Hopefully we won't be staying at
the
Knights Inn.
I won't go to Florida.
We won't go. Cancel the trip.
Grand Danny, keep it here.
Thank you, guys.
Next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.